Almost everyone who comes to Alaska on a cruise ship wants to see a whale. Well, your chances of seeing whales in Glacier Bay National Park are pretty good. I'm Elizabeth Harriman.
And I'm Paul Lasley, and well, we've been talking to a couple of wildlife biologists here in Glacier Bay National Park on humpback whales and marine mammals, and so we're going to join them in just a moment. But, you know, we want to share with you a behind-the-scenes look at what's going on in Glacier Bay National Park, because here, when you're cruising on Holland America Line and you're coming into the park, you get a chance to see whales maybe early in the morning, maybe late in the day, and people ask all kinds of questions about them. So what better way to find out about the whales that you'll see on your cruise than to talk to some real experts on humpback whales and marine mammals? There are several whales here and other marine mammals we're going to find out about.
We're going to be speaking in a little bit to Chris Gabriel, but first we're going to chat with Janet Nielsen. Janet Nielsen is a wildlife biologist here at Glacier Bay National Park, and a wildlife biologist. Wow. There is so much wildlife here.
Everybody wants to see a whale.
Yes, with the main whale that people see when they come to Glacier Bay is the humpback whale, which actually is an endangered species on the endangered species list, but they're quite common in Glacier Bay and surrounding waters. And then the other whales that people might see when they come here are minke whales and killer whales, although minke whales are much more rare, and killer whales, there are some around, but they're very transient. They move around a lot. So humpback whales tend to be the animals that people see the most.
Well, when we're talking about marine mammals, there's a huge range of them here, really mammals that are comfortable in the sea.
That's true. Yeah, marine mammals in Glacier Bay range from the smallest is the sea otter all the way up to the humpback whale. There are larger marine mammals in the world. The blue whale is the largest whale, but humpback whale is the largest whale that we typically see here. Marine mammals evolved from land mammals. So they are warm-blooded. They give birth to live young. They nurse their young. And they actually all have hair all the way from sea otters up to whales. Humpback whales have hair as well. Very sparse, but they are mammals in that way as well.
No waxing or shaving.
No, not as far as I know.
You know, one of the things that I think people always want to see are things like sea otters and seals, all kinds of things. Is it easy to see them in Glacier Bay?
Glacier Bay is an extremely good place to see humpback whales and other marine mammals, and it's just a very rich environment, and so it's a great place to see humpback whales, sea otters, harbor porpoises, stellar sea lions. Those are all species that we see very commonly. We also have harbor seals, and as I mentioned, minke whales. So there are lots of marine mammals here. It's an extremely rich environment for marine mammals.
Now, I understand the harbor seals come here to breed because it's comparatively sheltered and they give birth near the glaciers. Is that right?
That's correct. The harbor seals go up into the glacial fjords and give birth to pups that haul out on the icebergs in front of the glaciers. So the best place to see harbor seals in Glacier Bay, the most likely place that visitors will see them, is up by the glaciers, especially up in front of Marjorie Glacier and Johns Hopkins Glaciers are good places to look for harbor seals in Glacier Bay.
What should people look for? It's not necessarily looking for the actual animal. You look for traces of them. Is that right?
That's right. Well, for humpback whales and minke whales, sometimes what you'll see is the blow. The animal comes to the surface to breathe. It's an air-breathing mammal just like us. So the blow is a visible spout. It looks kind of like a puff of smoke, and that's the most likely thing people will see. With other marine mammals like stellar sea lions, sea otters, harbor porpoises, you won't probably see the blow, but you'll see, although they are breathing at the surface as well, you'll see just the rounding of the back at the surface. Sometimes it can look like the rounding of a tire surfacing or something like that. They're smaller animals, so you do have to keep a sharp lookout. A good pair of binoculars is helpful. And the lower and mid parts of Glacier Bay are really extremely rich environments for marine mammals, so those are the best places to be watching out for those kinds of signs.
I understand that right at the entrance to Glacier Bay is actually protected environment for whales. Is that right?
That's correct. The lower part of Glacier Bay, from the point where the ranger gets on the ships, up a few miles up from there, is protected seasonally as what we call whale waters. And that's an area where we have special speed limits and special course restrictions for vessels that are meant to protect humpback whales from collisions and disturbance. And the idea is to keep vessels moving through that area, but keep vessels moving slowly and away from shore. Most whales are near shore, and so we're trying to separate vessel traffic from where the whales are feeding most commonly.
Do you go out and get on the ships?
I don't have the pleasure of getting out on the ships. I spend my day on a very cold, open 19-foot skiff that some of the visitors on the cruise ships may see out on the water. We're a much smaller boat and with no heat.
Janet, I notice you emphasize the no heat part.
Yeah, it can be quite cold. Today I just came in from the water and it was a very cold, wet day in Glacier Bay. So.
Well, of course, it rains a lot here, which of course keeps Glacier Bay green and contributes to the snow. We've talked about the glaciers, but do the glaciers influence the marine mammal population? I mean, is there an interreaction between them, or is it just that this is sheltered water and that attracts the marine mammals?
Well, there's lots of complex interactions going on with the oceanography of Glacier Bay, with the deep water fjords that the glaciers carved, with the actual ice at the heads of the fjords, and with the very strong currents that are common in Glacier Bay because of the deep and narrow fjord system. All of that combines to create a very complex environment for oceanography, for currents. There's a lot of upwelling of nutrients, and all of that contributes to the great number of marine mammals that we see in the park.
Are you able? Do you have your favorite marine mammal? Is there one that stands out?
Well, I have to admit I am partial to humpback whales, but really all the marine mammals are fascinating, and they all have, you know, at different points I've seen just amazing behaviors from all of them, from the smallest to the largest. You don't necessarily have to. I mean, humpback whales can be very secretive and hard to see, and a sea otter might give you a great show, you know, where you get to see something really extraordinary from that animal. So, you know, I am partial to humpback whales. I've been studying them for years, but I enjoy seeing all marine mammals.
Now, these are the whales that sing.
Yeah, humpback whales are known to sing. It used to be thought that that only occurred on the breeding grounds, which for us is mostly the Hawaii is the breeding ground that most whales from here migrate to. But we now know, especially from research that's happened here in Glacier Bay, that there's quite commonly humpback whale song happening in the fall as they possibly get ready for the breeding season and their systems kick into gear for breeding.
So they spend the summer in Glacier Bay and the winter in Hawaii. This isn't a bad life.
No, it's not a bad life. Unfortunately, I don't follow them down there in the winter, but they do migrate seasonally, and the whales here, humpback whales here, migrate every fall. They start to depart from Glacier Bay, and they end up in Hawaii for the winter. It's about a 2,500-mile migration each way, and it takes them about a month to make that trip. Mm.
You've been in Glacier Bay studying marine mammals for a long time. Is there one or two events in your study that just really stand out?
Oh, you know, I'm really fortunate. I have moments like that on a not a daily basis, but probably on a weekly or a monthly basis doing the work that I do. Just the other day on the water, we had some killer whales that we were photographing. We can identify killer whales by the markings on their bodies, and they decided to come over and check us out in the boat and swam right under the boat on their sides, looking up, you know, those eyes were looking at us. So that was an extraordinary moment. And every day, really, in Glacier Bay is an adventure with a new thing to see. So I've had countless, I've been very fortunate, countless very magical moments on the water, and I hope visitors do too. Glacier Bay is an incredible place to witness wild nature.
Glacier Bay is an incredible place to witness wild nature, and we thank Janet Nielsen so much for being with us. And we promised you not one, but two wildlife biologists. Our next wildlife biologist is Chris Gabriel.
She's been watching whales here for 20 years. Chris is going to share with us her expertise in one of the most fascinating aspects of Glacier Bay. Chris, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. I just thought I would take a little bit of time to tell you a little bit about how I see Glacier Bay whales. I'm sure you'll be seeing them from the ship. And also tell you a little bit about how the whales might be perceiving the vessel, you and the vessel that you're traveling on as you go into Glacier Bay.
You mean they don't just think of us as a large whale?
Well, no, they probably don't see you at all unless at very close range. And most of the things that a human would do with its vision, daily tasks like finding food, finding others, a whale does with its hearing. So it's mostly hearing, experiencing Glacier Bay and experiencing the ship as it goes by, about from the way it hears you.
Well, let's start at the beginning. The whales, as I understand it, are in out and off of Point Adolphus and Icy Straits and the entrance to the bay, and then they extend up quite a ways, but not all the way to the glaciers. Is that right?
Most of the whales are concentrated in the lower part of Glacier Bay, but specific whales have preferences for different areas. So there are a handful of whales that you would see up near the glaciers, near Lamplugh and Tar Inlet, etc. Where the whales are found is largely explained by where the food is. So they like to be near points and areas where there's high current, because I think maybe that helps concentrate the food. And so that's kind of how a whale decides where to be. Where's the food?
The study of whales must be just absolutely fascinating, especially since you've done this for so long. It must be endlessly interesting, because whales are obviously, number one, wild mammals in the ocean, but they obviously have behavior characteristics that are probably not predictable in many different ways. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's very hard to predict whales. I mean, once you've watched them for a while, you get kind of an idea of what they might do, but then they'll surprise you. But one of the reasons why my job has continued to be so interesting over the many years is that in a place like Glacier Bay, I can recognize whales by their tail markings. So it's kind of like a fingerprint that lasts with the whale over its whole life. So what I do is I follow behind the whale briefly, and when it shows its tail when it dives, I take a picture of those markings, and from those I can determine who it is.
Well, now these are on the website, maybe? Can the public access this and say, oh, there's Fred, I remember seeing him?
Yes, when you see a whale show its tail, you probably could notice whether the fluke is all black or all white or something in between. And so because these whales come here in the first year of their life with their mother, and then they use this as their home range every year afterward, when I approach a whale and watch its behavior, I know a lot about that whale's lineage and history and who his friends are and what its preferences are in terms of habitat and where to go to eat.
But humpbacks are fairly large whales, and they have some interesting habits, don't they?
Yes, the humpbacks are about 50 feet long when they're adults, and the females are just slightly larger than the males. Mm-hmm. I think probably because they need to store resources, because they're going to give birth and lactate, and so they're a little bit larger.
The size and scope of a whale, very difficult to see. I mean, even in from the cruise ships, we look down and we see maybe a fluke or the back of the whale. You don't really get to see the whole whale very often.
Yeah, that's true. The water in Glacier Bay and in the high latitudes is very turbid because it's so rich with food, so you really don't get to see the whole animal. And they are incredibly powerful. I mean, the fact that they can take in thousands of gallons in a single gulp, and then use their very strong tongue to push the water out and keep the fish in. It's just incredible. And one of our main goals is to count the number of different whales in Glacier Bay in a certain year, and then look at, get an idea of what they're doing and where they are. And some of the information goes back to park management kind of in the real time, meaning that if there are places where there are a lot of whales, what we do is the superintendent often implements a speed limit so that to reduce the probability of striking one of those whales, or also the potential for disturbing them with the underwater sound.
How are humpback whales doing? I understand they're an endangered species, but are they holding their own or increasing? What?
Well, humpback whales in the North Pacific are actually doing fairly well, although there are other populations around the world that are not doing as well. And in the North Pacific and up in Southeast Alaska area, we find that they're increasing at 5 to 7% a year. And if you keep track of your investments at all, if you had a 7% return on your investment, it would double in 10 years. So over the course of time that I've been in Glacier Bay, the population has done more than double. Anything that happens in the ocean has a potential to affect the food web that the animals depend on. For example, ocean acidification, if that affects the base of the food chain, the little tiny shellfish that are eaten by the forage fish that the whale eventually eats. If those animals are not thriving, then the prey source for a lot of different animals, seabirds, marine mammals, is going to be affected. So things like that are related to global climate change. Those kinds of things have a widespread impact on whale populations. Other simple things like trash in the oceans. There have been several occasions in recent years when a dead whale washes up on shore and the veterinarians cut it up and they find that it's got golf balls and sweatpants and plastic tarps. And so plastics and marine debris in the ocean are a real concern that can be fatal. And then the issue of underwater sound is something that the whales did not evolve in an ocean that was full of motorized vessels of all kinds, but any kind of motorized vessel produces sound when it travels through the water. The propeller does and the engine. And so these animals that are capable of communicating over these long distances, and in fact they're depending on that sound to find prey and find mates, If their habitat has got noise pollution in it, then their ability to use the habitat is decreased.
The Glacier Bay National Park Service controls vessel traffic in this amazing ecological area.
The incredible assets of working and doing science in Glacier Bay is that you're able to control that so well, mm-hmm. so that you're able to put hydrophones down there and record whale song and in so many different ways. And I think that's one of the things that people need to realize when they visit Glacier Bay is there's so much science going on here that will benefit us in maybe untold ways down the road. And listening to whales talk in Glacier Bay is not a bad way to do it.
Exactly. So passenger vessel traffic really is a drop in the bucket in terms of global underwater sound. And even if you live in far inland in the middle of America, when you go to a store and buy something, chances are that item has been shipped from across the world in order to get to you. So we might all think that we're not a part really of the underwater sound picture globally, but a lot of aspects of our lifestyles are part of that. Yeah, listening to underwater sound in Glacier Bay is an incredible privilege and an incredible experience. One of the things that we discovered once we started listening, we have a listening device called a hydrophone on the seafloor in Glacier Bay, and it's been continuously monitoring sound, almost continuously, since the year 2000. And we hear a lot of different species go by. We hear killer whales, we hear humpback whales, we hear harbor seals. That was one of the sounds that we actually had a hard time identifying. We kept hearing these sounds like a bowling ball rolling down an alley, and we didn't quite know what it was, but it was happening mostly in June and July. And it wasn't until I contacted a colleague of mine who studies harbor seals that she told me that those were male harbor seals defending their territories in Glacier Bay, and I had no idea. But in terms of humpback whales, the main discovery that we made with the underwater sound listening was that the male humpback whale song, which is a display that the males make in their winter breeding season, is really something that they start in late summer in their feeding grounds. So Glacier Bay is a feeding grounds for humpback whales, and their winter breeding grounds would be in Hawaii or Mexico. And so until we started listening, and I can listen 24 hours a day, I can listen in the dark, I can listen when the weather is bad, and so until we were able to have that much access to the underwater sound environment, we really didn't know that the whales were using it. The males were starting to sing in the fall.
That's fascinating. Is there a place to listen to the songs? Are they on the internet, or can you, when you're in Glacier Bay, or before you get here, can you download a recording of it?
We don't have it streamed live on the web at this point, but we do on our website have sound clips of various things of interest. So we have some whale sounds and the harbor seal roaring that I was talking about, and vessels, and also actually one of the most pervasive sound in the ocean is wind. And so we have recordings of you can hear what the underwater sound environment is just from natural sounds like wind and rain. So one of the most amazing things that I have heard on the hydrophone, I was sitting in my office late one afternoon, and all of a sudden I started hearing the strangest sounds, and I didn't know what they were. It sounded a lot like a scuba diver was right next to the listening device, and it just got louder and louder and louder. And what I realized is that these bubbling noises were actually from a whale forming a bubble net right near the hydrophone. And so I could hear the bubbles being formed and then, you know, rising to the surface and exploding. And it was just really amazing. And after I heard the bubbles, then I heard, you know, the whale just making little vocalizations, kind of congratulating himself on how well the bubble net went. And so what a humpback whale will do to make a bubble net is either alone or with a group of other whales, they'll be under a school of fish. And then what they'll do is start blowing bubbles at depth. And as you know, if you blow a big bubble and you're deep in the water, it's gonna dissipate and turn into tiny bubbles as it goes. And what they do is they blow a circle of bubbles around the school of fish, and it basically forms a bubble curtain that keeps the prey on the inside. And then when the whale is ready and the fish are near the surface, the whale lunges up through the school of fish with the bubbles keeping it in. And what I hadn't realized until I heard that was that the acoustic part of the bubble net would be probably a big, as well as the bubbles being a visual barrier, that the sound that the bubbles make almost certainly helps the fish decide, wherever that is, I'm going the other direction, because it was a very loud noise.
And so if you blow a bubble net around a school of fish, they just get into a smaller school, easier to gulp up.
That's right.
Old 102. Chris Gabriel, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
And you too, Chris. Thank you for joining us in Glacier Bay National Park. This recording is a copyright production of Holland America Line and is made possible through the cooperation of the rangers and scientists who work and study in Glacier Bay National Park.